מספיק מידת הקדוש ברוך הוא, מידת בשר ודם. מידת בשר ודם, מתחייב אדם הרגע למחות, מטיל לו חרקה לתוך פיו, כדי שלא יקלל את המלך. When a human being is sentenced to death, so they stick a prong into his mouth to shut him up, because they don't want him going up there cursing the king on his way to the gallows, you know? And that, what's the king going to do about that? I mean, so yeah, the only thing you do is shut him up. But by when a person is mitchayev harigal makom, he chas v'sholom doesn't do that. He shotek. Shinamar lecha dumiyat ila velo odel mishabeach. He even is mishabeach HaKadosh Baruch Hu with his dumiya shinamar tehila. Whereas the guy that's being led up to the gallows by the king, he may not be able to make any sounds, but you can see him all red in the face. You know what he's saying. I think that the dumiya over here is actually a tehila at HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Velo od shedomelo. And not only this, but he considers it in his own mind. Shedomea love, some have the girsa, or shemaalea love. Kiilo yikriv korban, that he's bringing a korban of his own life. Shenema ulecha yushalam neder, because we say, continuing the pasuk, lecha dumiyati ilah, looking b'tzion, ulecha yushalam neder. That means that he views this as paying up his debts to God. The Omer Rabbi Yeshua, ma'idichtiv, ovrei be'imek abacha ma'ayan yishitiv. Those who are passing through the valley of tears, well, there is suddenly a mayan. This is perfect for sukkahs. Gam brachot yatem moreh. What does this mean? So ovrei refers to people that are ovrim. They're ovrim ha'ratzono shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And they're going be'emek. That means that they are people shemamikim lehem geinom, in which we dig out a special place in hell for people who want to go against HaKadosh Baruch Hu's ratzon. And that's why it's called habacha shebochin u'moridim d'maot k'mayan shel shitim. They, that's of course the Mayan Shal Shitim, is a reference to the Shitim of the Mizbeach, which was the Nisuch HaMai, that went from the Tahom to the Mizbeach. That's the whole Mitzvah Hashuva, that's the Sipas Beis HaShoeva, that's what is the Mayan Shal Shitim. So these guys are crying like the Mayan Shal Shitim. Gam Brachot Yatem Moreh, they are nonetheless, they take this and they're Matzdikim Aleihem Hasadin. So they turn all of this pain into Brachot, on the head, kevayochol, of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's dinim, so that they say, Ribonish omrim lefanav, Ribonosh shel olam, yofe danta, yofe zachita, yofe chiyavta, yofe tikanta geinom l'reshayim. This is a great idea to have Ganim. Ouch! Gan eden letzadikim. And so Mamela turns out to be completely shalokim idat HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Eni vam reb shimim ben lakish, is that true? That reshayim are actually happy to see Ganim and are merane? Doesn't it say, according to Shimon Lakish, that Rishayim afilu al pitchosho geinam eino chozrim b'tshuva? That Rishayim, even when they're sitting there being thrown into the flames, they still don't do tshuva. They're still committed to sinning. Because, after all, it says, v'yetzu v'ra'u b'pikrei ha'anashim ha'pushim bi. It's about ha'pushim bi. Doesn't say she'poshku bi. She'poshu lo ne'mar. Doesn't say those who sinned in the past against me. Ela ha'pushim. Meaning that they're poshim v'ochim l'olam, they're keeping poshia, even in the midst of Geinon. Lo kasha, that's not a problem. Well, that's referring to goyim. Before, we were referring to Jews. How about poshia Yisrael? Poshia Yisrael, when he sees Geinon, is mishabeach takarash baruch hu, yofa tikanta Geinon, yofa dantani. But anoyvi kechovim continues to sin even in face of retribution. Inochinami mistabra, but I'm not just saying this. If you don't say it, then you can end up with a steer in Reish Lakish himself. Forget about Akasha with what it was that Reish Lakish said from the way we're understanding the pasuk. Because the Amar Reish Lakish, Poshei Yisrael, hey, I'm going a little ahead over here because of the problem of the Simchat Paradav. So. The Amar Reish Lakish, Poshei Yisrael, Ein Ur Shal Geinom Sholetet Behem. That when it comes to Poshei Yisrael, actually the flames of Geinom can't really get to them. Kovachomer Mimizbeach HaZahav. You take a look at the Mizbeach HaZahav. The Mizbeach HaZahav is a very, very tiny amount of gold. It's mostly wood. And it has a thin covering of gold, which is Kovi Dinner Zahav. And take a look at that. We keep burning things on it. And the Zahav is still there. And it's Emet Kamashoni, Velo Sholta Bo Ha'ur. And the flames never managed to burn the wood underneath. So Poshei Yisrael Shebelayim Mitzvot Kerimon, even those Poshim, they're still full of mitzvahs. Shinemar Kepelach HaRimon Rakatech. And Reish Lakish himself says the meaning of rakatech is lashon reik, rakatech that was reikanim in Yisrael afilu reikanim shebecha mleim mitzvot kirimon alachat kama vekama. So then the Reish Lakish would be contradicting himself, because Reish Lakish claims that afilu bepischa shogenam inim chazer b'tshuva, and here he says ein orish shogenam shalates, because they're full of mitzvahs karima. Obviously, we're talking about two different poshim. So one are poshim Yisrael, and one are poshim Oved Kochavim. El hadachiv ovrei be'emek abacha. But wait a minute, you're saying that's a reference now to poshim Yisrael. But I thought Moshe Yisrael ain urish shogenam shalatet. So why are they walking through Emek Abacha? Oh, that means that Ahudu mechayve ahish aita begeinam. That means that they were given a din to go to Gana. So okay, so here they are. They're being put into Gana, and there is Avram Avinu at the door of Geinam, and he says, absolutely not. I don't allow them in here. So Osi Avram Avinu vatsiklu takes them out of Gana. And he takes them now, he's makabal them into Elam Haba. Bar Mizrael Shabbat Bato Viko Chavim. Unless this is a Jew that slept with a Goya. Over there, Mashka or Latos, over there, his Orla grows and it looks like he never had a Brit Milah, because the Brit Milah was meant to separate him out. Velo Mav Shakele, in which case, Avram he doesn't recognize him as Jewish, so then he lets him into Gana. But otherwise,
Is everybody falling?
Yeah, nobody said they're falling. Yeah, they may be escorted.
This
is a
yawn and this stretches.
Mask of Lurukah. You're claiming that we could be Medaik from Haposhim, that they continue to be Posheha, to Pashe Viazle. So would you say the same thing is true of Hamotziat Chemeretz Betraim? Hamaaleat Chemeretz Betraim? That it's a continuous Yetziah and a continuous Aliyah? I mean, over there, certainly the simple meaning of the Pasuk is the Masik, the Mafiku. It means who took you out, who lifted you up. It doesn't mean who is lifting you up. Obviously, you see, you can use that type of construction to refer to something that occurred in the past. It doesn't necessarily mean that they continue to be poshei. That's cholik on the whole drosha. I don't think it means that. These are places in Barnea's neighborhood, but Barnea's not here. There's three entranceways. There are three entranceways to Genon. One of them is in the Midbar. One of them is in the Yam, and one of them is in Yerushalayim. The Midbar, I don't know if there's one in the Midbar, because it says, Vayerdu heim v'chol ha-shalehem chayim sha'ola. So if they went down the Shaol in the Midbar, there must be a Petach Shagenam in the Midbar. The Yam, we find that Yonah said, Mi beten sha'ol shivati shamata koli. So that means that he must have been in the belly of Sha'ol. The only way he got there was by going down with the ship. And so if that's the case, he basically must have seen the Pesach Pesachel Shaol in Yerushalayim. Yechiv Neum Hashem Asher Ur Lo B'Tzion V'Tanur Lo B'Yerushalayim. So if there's a fire burning in Tzion, and that means that there's the Tanur that the fire heats is in Yerushalayim, must be there's a way to get into it through Yerushalayim. V'Tanur Devei Rabbi Shmo Asher Ur Lo B'Tzion Zu Geinom V'Tanur Lo B'Yerushalayim Zu Pitcha Shel Geinom. Now wait a minute, you're saying there's only three ways into Ganem. The two Lekah. Some say it was Tana, Rabbi Bar Marion, in the series of Braitot that had been said in the Beit HaMidrash of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. There was a whole collection of Braitot from Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. Shteitan is another Sukkah Halacha. Shnei Tamarot Yesh, B'gei Ben Hinnom. There are two palm trees that grow in Gei Ben Hinnom. V'oleh Ashan Mibeneim. There's always smoke coming up between those two palm trees. And that is what we're referring to in Masechet Sukkah when we say that a lulav that is taken as Tzinei Har HaBarzel, Kisheirot, that the kalim that grow on the Mordor, on the mountain of steel, they are nonetheless kosher lulavim. So where is that mountain? That's Gei Ben Hinnom. And I'm
right next to Cinematheque.
Right next to Cinematheque, yeah, exactly. I was once walking, like a bunch of Hasidim were walking around. Says, Slicha, I tell you, there ain't for sure yesh, maybe Kalim, you mashan, you'll see me being here by Zor.
No, honestly. They think the train station is this much.
Honestly. So, okay, so that. Yeah, so that area is the Pisca Shogena. Vizoi Petach Shogeinam. In any event, so that Petach Shogeinam seems to be a fourth Petach. You said there were only three Petachim. No, it says the Gemara, Dimahina to Yerushalayim. Maybe Yerushalayim doesn't mean Mamish in the middle of the city. I mean, Gei Ben Hinnom is close enough. So you can go to Ganem through the Cinematheque.
We're going straight from Ganem to Gehinnom here, you know.
Why Ganem then?
I've been to Rishon.
Wasn't in Yerushalayim.
No, we're going straight to Gehenna someday.
Oh, you mean why the Gemara is going?
Similar to the idea that the world is in divided in three, like the Yishuv, the Midbar, and
Om Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, Sheva Shemot Yesh Vagenon, the seven names to Gehenon, Ve'elohim, Sheol, Avadon, Be'er Shachat, Bor Sha'on, Tityavin, Salmavet, Eretz HaTachtit. And we find all of these words referred to in Psukim. Actually, the truth is, Tosfos says we find other words. He's worried about why. Gemara is going to ask about Tofta. We're going to talk about Aluka and so on. Okay. So, but in any event, where do we see these seven names? Sheol Dechtiv mi Beten Sheol Shivati, Shamata Koli, as we just saw in Yonah. Avadon, Dechtiv, Hayesupar, Bekever, Chazdecha, Emunatecha, Avadon, Be'er Shachat, Dechtiv, Lekilota Zov Nafshi Lishol, Lotiten Chasidcha, Lirot Shachat. Apparently, Shachat, of course, we could have brought a riot from Sheol to here too. We need the separate Sheol from Yonah. I said a lot of interesting diyukim here. We're trying to go through this quickly. Bor Sha'on, Vetita Yavain is in one pasuk, Dechtiv. Vaya aleni mi bor sha'on mi tit hayavein. Tit hayavein as opposed to normal tit. Tit normally is used as a building material. Tit hayavein is like a quicksand or a primordial mud, which is a reference to sha'ol.
It's not tit yavan?
No, tit hayavein. Maybe I remember. Dechtiv. Where do we see it's called salmavet? Dechtiv. Yoshve choshech v'tsalmavet. And where is it called? Eretz HaTachtit. Never heard of that. You're right. That does not appear in any pasuk. Eretz HaTachtit, the underworld, that's a Gemara, that's a Kabbalah that we have of a shame for Gehenom, but we don't find that in literature. Well, wait a minute. There's other names. You didn't mention Gehenom. I mean, what about Gehenom? No. That means Gaish Amukah. That's the deep valley. Sha'ako yored la'aliskeh hinam. Everybody sort of rolls down there for absolutely no reason. They waste their time on all of this nonsense. And they just find it's a slippery slope, Richie. A slippery slope paved with slime. Ve'ika tofta. How about tofta? Dichtiv ki oroch mi'etmo tofta. No, tofta is a lashon mitpate. That comes to tell me anybody who gets seduced lands up in the land of seduction. So we should call ha'mitpate b'yitzro. You allow your yitzhara to seduce you, will fall into the land of tofta. So no fail sham. What about Gan Eden? How about the Pesach for Gan Eden? Well, I'll tell you. If it's in Eretz Yisrael, then it's got to be the Beit Shan area. I mean, it's just beautiful around there, you know. So that's Beit Shan Pitcho. If it's in Saudi Arabia, it's got to be in Beit Garam. That's Pitcho. If it's in Mesopotamia, in Benan Harotu, then it's got to be Dumaskinim Pitcho. Dumaskinim is not. Meso. Mesopotamia. Meso is in between. Potamus. Potamus. Hippopotamus. That's a water horse. Mesopotamia. Potable water. It's drinkable. So between the Naharos is Mesopotamia. So that's got to be the mask. In Bavel, Abaye was Mishtabech with Peri, the Mabar Yamina. He felt the Paris of Mabar Yamina was absolutely, that's Gan Eden on this world, baby. And Rava Mishtabech with Peri, the Harpania. Panya fruits, he felt that was like Gan Eden leaking out into this world somewhere.
What's the connection?
Between Pisra Shogan and Pisra Shogan Eden? That's where it comes from. It's something that's good has got to come from Gan Eden. No?
Something tastes heaven.
You say it tastes heaven. Tastes like Gan Eden.
And what's the connection from that to Gehenna? Pisach this, Pisach that, no? Is that the only connection?
I don't know. You're going to have to explain what it all has to do with the dualism of Diyum then for Pasim, Beiros, and Beiros. Yeah, but the truth is, Be'er Shachas is directly connected to the Diyum din for Boros.
What does it say, Kevlach Pela? Don't we have a story that
Kevlach
Pela is the
No, it says that he smelled Ganim coming. He smelled Gan Eden. As a remez that this is the place where he should bury his Torah.
Isn't that the place you walked in there inside?
Can you do? Okay, so hopefully we'll be able to do another bit of extra.
Jewish women. Where are we tomorrow?
Tonight.
Jewish women are new morning. They're okay, let's continue now. We already got up to Yotet Amud Aleph on the bottom. And we're up to the two dots that say Beinayim Kim Lo Shtei Yevakot. So says the Gemara, the Mishnah says a lashon that doesn't make any sense. It says that they're kshurot, they have to be bevad, that they should be kshurot and not mutarot. Isn't that rather, I mean, obvious? Pshita, kivin etanu like the kshurot have it. Anan yadina delavi mutarot. If you're telling me that the parot have to be tied in a team, so obviously they can't be untied. And what's the point of saying it? Ma detame kshurot ke'in kshurot avu mamash lo. I might have thought that the shear actually is, because as we know all through, we've been makpid at the extent at which the shear is miduyak. So we have a yotze v'nichna, so always have a little bit of extra space. We have the different shear of tefach. We have etzvot that are together tzohakot, or that they're together at suvot. So here too, I might have thought that it means ke'ing shirot, in other words, that the parot could be next to each other, but not to the extent that we would actually tie them, which is where we try to get in as efficiently tied as possible. Kamash balon velo mutarot. That we don't allow mutarot in any sense. In other words, that they have to be a sheer mitzumtzum of each para. Achat ichneset v'achat yotzeit. The bright explains that you have one of these rifkot going in, which is a team of the parot, and one of them going out. So in other words, you have either three and three or four and four. Now, the only measurements that we've had have been in terms of parot, but we don't know what the actual. So we've been saying all along in advance the shiurim alibi de Rabbi Meir and alibi de Rabbi Yehuda, but the truth is this is the first time that we saw in a braita where we derive the ten amot or where we derive the 13 and a third. So the braita explains kamar oshav rubashel parah shtei amot. First of all, how far does the parah have to be inside bein hapasim? Two amot. The kama oviashel parah. Ama ushnishlishi ama. An ama and two thirds is the width of the para. Now both of these measurements are critical because lamaisa, the distancing of the pasim from the bor is going to be defined by the length of the para rosh of aruba. So that means that as we keep expanding our pasim, depending obviously on how large the bor is, but as we keep expanding our pasim, we run into the area in which now Rabbi Meir holds you have to be mosif pshuti in between because you can't have. And we also have to determine what Rabbi Yehuda is going to do in a case where we went beyond the 13 and a third, which was four parot times two. But let's take a look at the critical values. So the length of the parah that we were matir over here for the pasim is two amas. The ovi of a parah is amah v'shnei shlish, which according to Rabbi Meir is multiplied by six because he has two of quotes of three and three. And that boils down to Shein Ke'eser. It's a little bit strange. It's not Ke'eser. It happens to be exactly Eser, which I'm not going to be bothered with, because the 6 times 3 and 2 thirds equals 10. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Kishlosh Esrei Amo Karbas Esrei Amo. About 13 or about 14 Amot. Okay, so of course that Loshon is also strange. So first the Gemara asks Rabbi Meir, Ke'eser. You're saying Ke'eser. It's exactly Eser. Eser Hamia. Since we wanted to say 13 for Rabbi Yehuda, approximately, so we said approximately 10, because obviously when it says Shlosh Esrei, it couldn't have been Shlosh Esrei literally. When we say Kishlosh Esrei, it's not like Shlosh Esrei, it's more than Shlosh Esrei, obviously. Well, but we need to say Karba Esrei. But it's also not Arba Esrei. Arba Esrei lo havi, because if it works out to 13 and a third, Om Refafa, it's more than 13. And less than 14. So therefore, we say about 30 to 14. You have to figure it out yourself. So maybe we use the lashon of approximately when it comes to Rabbi Meir too. So Rav Papa Yitirot HaShlosh Esrei, Veinan Magiyot L'Arba Esrei. Om Rav Papa, let's take a look now at the values in terms of the addition of the pasim. Because if you have a bor shumona, so then Kuli Am Lo Pligi D'Lo Be'in and Truti. Even Rabbi Meir is moda that if the bor itself is only wide 8 amot. So now it comes out that what's your total expansion of the pasim? Well, you're going to need another 2 amot because of the para on each side, right? So it gives you 12. But remember that each one of the sides of the diyumdin is 1. So you have to take off 2 off of the 12. Then you're starting with 8. The 8 is the size of the shuta yachid in the middle. And now you have to have on all four sides sufficient for a para, rosh of aruba, which is 2 amot. Okay, so if you add 4 amot, you come out with 12. However, you also have to have your diyumdin. Your diyumdin are one arm in each direction. Now you come out with 10 of empty space between the diyumdin. So that's fine, because Rabbi Meir was also matir. 10 is the normal size of a petach, even for a chotzer. We don't need to come to the heter of oisim pasim. So memela, there'd be no problem at all, says Rav Popa, if we had a bor shmoni. If you have a bor shtemesre, if you start off with the reshut hayachid in the middle being 12 amot, then even Rabbi Yudah is going to have a problem, because the most that he was matir was the shear of 4 parot times 2. And that's 13 and 3rd over here. You're going beyond that, because since you have a bor shtemesre, you're going to have to add now 2 amot on either side. That takes you already to shtemesre plus 4. And then you're going to take down from your 16, you're going to take down now your additional pasim on the side. And you're still over 13 and a third. You're already at 14. The truth is, this does this point out. I mean, even if it would be less than that, it could be 11 and a third plus. We don't really need for it to be 12, but we want to just say, we want to take the next biggest of it instead of taking the little values, right? But we have a problem over here, if you leave it to Rebbe Yudah, because we got to an opening of 14. We got 14 plus our 2 amot of pasim on either side, 16, which is the area of the bar of 12 in the middle, plus 2 amot on either side for the parot. So now we're in trouble, because we have too large of a petach, even on Libet Rebbe Yudah. So there, Rebbe Yudah is also moda, the binam pshutim. The machloket in the Mishnah, remember, didn't give us any values. All it said was that what you have to do is you could be market koshu as much as you want, ubevachi yar bebe pasim. Right? That's all it said in Rebbe Meir. In the end, we had Rebbe Yudah. Didn't tell us what size and so on and so forth. Comes along, Rav Papa, and they say, okay, basically the only area where we would have a machlokas between Rav Papa and Rav Yudah is Davka, where you have somewhere between 8 and 11 plus in the size of the bor. So then, by definition, you're expanding your pasim to such a point in which is going to be a machlokas Rav Yudah, whether you need pshutim or not. Is it more than 10? So then already Rebbe Meir says you need a pass. It's less than 13 and a third. Rebbe Meir says you don't need a pass. But once you get below 10, nobody else you need a pass. And once you get above 13 and a third, everybody else you need a pass. And therefore, in terms of the bor itself, here's the values. So in that case, they're arguing. So it's only kipligim mishmona ad shtemesre, the Rebbe Meir bein apshut and the Rebbe Yudah lo bein apshut, which is not really accurate. Because, of course, according to Rebbe Yudah, we're going to get into problems before we really hit 12. But bear. He says, come on, but I don't need Rav Papa to tell me this, because I know how to count myself. I mean, the Brayta said, the Farish, all of the values that I need to figure this out. What, is he telling me how to add? So Rav Papa, my Kamashma, Tanina, isn't that the Brayta that says, Kama Shir the Parah, Rosha Varuba of a Parah, Shteyamot, Kama Ovya Shal Parah, and so on. But that's, that. Once I know that, and you have to be in first grade not to be able to make a simple cheshbon like that. So what's he teaching us? Says the Gemara, Rav Papa, Brayta lo Shmiyah. The point is, Rav Papa never heard that Brayta. The Mishnah didn't give us the values. So Rav Papa made an analysis himself of what it boils down to, halacha lemaisa, in terms of the shiurim. It turns out that, in fact, now we see that he was mechaven to the Brayta himself. And we would have been able to figure out ourselves. But kamashma, ki Brayta lemaisa. He ended up telling us the shiur that we would have figured out in the Brayta. But meanwhile, certainly it's clearer now that we went through the chesher. Boy minei abaya mirab. An interesting situation over here. The Mishnah gives us a case in which if you go beyond the shiur of the petach, that's acceptable. So then you add pshutim. Is that the only solution, or could we just expand the diyumdin so that we get it down to an area which is below 10? In other words, I understand there's an advantage in having the pshutim, because it makes it more obvious that there is a virtual mechitza over here by having a pshutim in the middle. But is the problem really the maximal size, or is the problem just that we have a petach that's too big? If the problem is only that we have a petach that's too big, so why don't we just add to the diyumdin? Maybe we could. So what would be the din? Suppose you were marich now on the diyumdin kishir pshutim, the amount that you would have needed to put in pshutim to have addressed the problem, you simply added to the diyumdin on the sides instead of putting pshutim in the middle. So what would be the din? I'll leave it to Rebbe Meir. It sounds to me like that's what the Mishnah is coming to address. The Mishnah says, when it says that you're marbe bipasim, what's that bipasim? Should have said marbe pasim. You're telling me marbe bipasim, then that means that something exists which you're adding to. So if something exists which you're adding to, it's got to refer to the diyumdin. So my love, the marbe diyumdin. No. He means that you add pshutim maybe. So then, Yochi, I will be Achi Arbe, be Pasim. It should have said, Achi Arbe, Pasim. If it says if you're adding to something, then it must be referring to the Diyumdin. Okay, fine. I mean, that if that in fact is your Diyuk, so then Tini Achi Arbe Bipasim. And fine, Apasim. If that's what's bothering you, then it could well be that that is the correct Yersetu. And the other way of looking at it is just the opposite. Ikidi Amri. Amalik Tini Tua. Some say that Adarabba, the answer that he gave him was, Bukharat says this in the Mishnah. It says, Ubivachi Arbe Bipasim, which seems to mean the mafishva of it pshutim. But if you're telling me that you're supposed to be marbe pasim, the word for pasim all along was not the word for diyumdin. So lechora, no. Well, let's hope it stands up till the end of tonight. I don't know what's happening all of a sudden.
It's just the plastic.
Is it? No, the whole thing is no longer.
Well, no, the whole thing is like that.
It was? Oh, okay. I guess the board isn't doing much of a job.
Well, keep it going.
So lechora, that means that if you say that he's marbe b'pasiv, it means that he's mafish the avid pshutim. No, and he answered him according to this version. On the contrary, it means that he was marek b'diyundim. And Ochinami mistavra, since it says b'vachi arbe b'pasim, shmami does. According to this version, in Ochinami, we're left with the diyuk of diyundim to add to the diyundim. Only with Rabbi Meir. B'ogani abaye mi rabba. How about according to Rabbi Yehuda? Yotem mishlosh yisrael mafish mishal Rabbi Yehuda. Mao. What do we do in that case? Pshutim avid, or diyumdim marich? Shall we now make more pshutim, or shall we be marich or diyumdim? Or marle tenitua? That also appears right here. Befeirish, it says kama in mekuravim kedei roshav ruba shel para v'kama meruchakim afilu kur v'afilu kurayim. And Rabbi Yehuda said, well, maximum of a beit satay, which is the shear of all mechitzas gerulais, and that's the most that you can have. You know, maybe just give it. I'm worried that the whole thing is going to just crack. Just push it back so that the board is even with the rock. Yeah. Forget it. Okay. I didn't realize you'd be fighting the wind. All right. I guess if it's lasted this long, hopefully it'll last. I don't know. It's never happened, but it never happened before. Something's changed.
It didn't blow.
Never happened. No. And there were terrible winds, and this never happened.
Maybe in the wrong direction.
Something is going on. No, something is definitely strange. Okay, I hope for the best. Rabbi Yudaimer, Beit Satay Mutar, Yotemi Beit Satay Masur. Okay, all of this we saw in the Mishnah. What's the diak? Dik is this. Omer lo Rabbi Yudah, Yeh tamodeh b'dir v'sar v'muktzeh v'chotzer afilu beit chamishat kurin. Aren't you made that if you have a mechitza in an area that's been used for living, so then there's no limitation of kurai. I feel a bit asara kurib shum mutar. Omar lahem, of course I'm made that. But that's because it's a real mechitza. Zo mechitza ve'elu pasim. Now, that lashon of zo mechitza ve'elu pasim really doesn't make sense if you're adding to the diyumdin. Because once you're adding to the diyumdin, then you're being matir, the chotzer, with a mechitza. Now, Tosis is very bothered by this, because that implies that all of a sudden we're treating the diyumdin that are mu'urachim the way we would treat the real mechitza in another rishos. But just a minute ago, when we were talking about Rabbi Meir, we took for granted that it would be adif to have more pasim than to be mosif on the diyumdin. The question is whether we could be mosif on the diyumdin, not whether that it's better to be mosif on the diyum. So all of a sudden, are we now saying, well, I mean, why would Rebbe Yehuda have said you're marbe b'pasim? I mean, why would Rebbe Yehuda have said, of course, here it's a chitza, there it's pasim, if l'maisa, you're marba and the thick and the width of the diyum, then he should have said zum mechitza v'zum mechitza, not zum mechitza v'zum pasim. He should have said zum mechitza v'zum mechitza grua or something, but certainly not zum pasim. At this point, it's a mechitza. So why now is it called a mechitza as if it's better than the pasim? Answers Tysus, there's two completely different cases over here. Don't compare what we were asking by Rabbi Meir to what we're asking Rabbi Yehuda. We're asking a Levit Rabbi Yehuda where you had a very wide board. So now you have to expand the pasim outwards a great deal. If you expand the pasim outwards a great deal, you basically end up with a chotzer that is Oymed Meruba ala Porutz. Because once you, I mean, it doesn't take much to get to the point where if you're maintaining 13 and a third in the middle, and you're going to continue to expand now your diyumdin on either side in order to make sure that you remain with 13 and a third. So adding to the bar forces out the diyumdin to the point at which you now have omed meruba. So you have omed meruba, then you really have a good mechitza. Rabbi Meir was talking about, the case we were asking Rabbi Meir was the case given. It was larger than the Pesach. So there, of course, it's better for there to be a pas. Here we want to know, in a case where it would be a real mechitza, of course you'd have to take that into consideration also. There may certainly be such a case. So how would Rav Yehuda respond then to such a case? What would he have said? There it's pasim, it's not pasim. There it's a real machitza. So why do you say it's a real machitza? Elamai, he's not saying to add to the yumdim. That's what you have to say, Bechorah. Because otherwise he's not addressing anything. So it must be that he holds that it's pasim. Says the Gemara, no, maybe all he meant to say was, okay, Konar, zo torat machitza aleh. There's two different dinim. It's not the pshat that the yumdin are not a kosher mechitza. Maybe they are more than a pas, and they're already big. Fine. Nonetheless, they don't have Torat Chatzer and a normal mechitza. Because a normal mechitza, what's the shear of the petach on a normal mechitza? So we've seen everywhere. 10. The moment you go beyond 10, it's parutz. It's called parutz bimlo already. Mistosis pointed out earlier. Even though it isn't literally bimlo. It's completely open. So, therefore, since I'm giving this a different halacha, all that Rebbe Yehuda means to say is, this has a tera of pasim, because it's not a real mechitz of araya, it has a petach that is shoshes reyama v'shlish. So over there, I'm not going to, what are you going to tell me? Therefore, I should bring a raya from a case of a dir v'sar that has a petach of eser, and I should say, since over there a petach of eser allows me to have yotermi beit satayim. So therefore, teras pasim, which is limited only to 13 and a third, should also allow me to have an area which is larger than Beit Karayim. We know that we always have the shear of a mechitza gerua is limited. So I'm limiting the shear of the Beit Satayim, the way all such cases are limited. We've seen many such cases where we have a limit, whether it's a shasi without Erev or an Erev without shasi, or it's a karf of shenamuk of ladira, or any of the problem mechitzas. If it's a mechitza, it's not, but who can, it's completely. We limit it to Beit Satayim. I'm limiting it to. Tell Hamitlakit Asara, do you have your little picture books here?
No, I definitely didn't.
No, you didn't bring the picture books? Okay, I mean, you have your color books?
No, I don't have the old one.
Ah, the old one? Nobody's going to look at the old one if we have color. Thank you. So, here we go. Tell Hamitlakit Asara Mitoch Arba. Now, this is the Richie case, Rich, so, yeah. This is number 128. No, this is really what we were saying on your on the island. Yeah, it really is this case. So,
neighborhood.
Yeah, that's the richest thing. Okay, so you have over here a pile, a little hill, basically, of dirt. And this hill of dirt satisfies the requirement of a mechitza, if we were looking for a normal mechitza, because we know that once the amount of the rise equals asarat fachim, which is the amount of a mechitza, the toch, a shear of Arba Ames, at that point, horizontally, at that point, we have a kosher mechitza. If it takes longer than that to reach the Asarat Tavach, it's not a kosher mechitza, because it's too gentle a slope. But if a slope satisfies that requirement, and obviously if it's a more radical slope, it's even better. But this is what we will allow. So now the shaila is, ten tvachim mitoch Arba Ames. Now the shaila is, if I were looking for a mechitza stam, I would say, that's great. But now I don't need a mechitza, I need diyumdin. Can I take this tail and virtually dissect it into two parts in which we have now a diyundin because it was on both sides mislaket hasara betoch arba? That's our question.
Virtually.
So here, says the Gemara, actually it's a machlokis. Because we need to do two things over here. We need to do, first of all, consider the rise as a real mechitza. And then we also need to do our virtual bisection over here in order to get it into a diyumdin. And that's a machlokas, whether we can do two steps of rowing. Where's the machlokas? On Marlei Tenitua. It's a machlokas with Shimon ben Elazar on the one hand, and Rabbi Shmuel ben Eshu Rabbi Yochanan ben Baruch on the other. Shimon Elazar says like this. Haitasham even mirubat. Ro'in kosh ilu techalek. Ve'yesh ba'am alakan ve'am alakan. Nidon mishum diyumad. Ve'im la ve'no nidon mishum diyumad. If you have a square stone, so then you can virtually bisect the stone, cut out the middle piece, and you'll have the yundi. Here, of course, you don't have a square stone, because we first need to create a mechitza because of the tail that's mitlakate. We don't really have an edge that we view as a mechitza. So it's not quite our case. But the next case is, Rabbi Shmuel ben Osher, Rabbi Yochanan ben Baruch Omer, Haitasham even agula, ro'in koshilo techakek v'techalek. So he takes a more radical case. If you have a round stone, so now you need to do two things. You need to first shave the outside of the stone down virtually so that you have a straight mechitza. And then you need to cut out the inside area to make it into the yom. And nonetheless, Rabbi Shmuel ben Osher, Rabbi Yochanan Breika says, you could say Royin twice. And it would be Nidom Mishum Diyuma. And obviously in this, he's going a step beyond Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar. So that means that according to Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, we wouldn't say Royin twice, so we couldn't have our Tel Amit Laket saying Royin twice. However, when it comes to the Shita of Rabbi Shmuel ben Osher, Rabbi Yochanan ben Breika, we're perfectly okay in using a Tel Amit Laket. But Maika Miflaget, Mar Sover Chad Royin Amrina and Trey Royin Lo Amrina, is how far to go with rowing for passing. Another question of a complex rowing situation. Suppose you have chitzata kanin. We have kana kana pachot mishlosha. Is that nidon mishum diumad or lav? Suppose you have now a poorly constructed machitza, because again, this would be a shati machitza without any erit. So you have just kanim, like we had earlier, that are planted, and they're now planted like the diyumdin. Would that be okay or not? I think it says beferish ayasham yulan ogader ochitzat kanim nidon mishum diyomad. It says beferish if you have a machitzas kanim, then I guess that's your case, right? And that's okay to use for diomet. So I assume it means my lav kana kana pachot mishlosha. Says Abayatim, no, not necessarily. Maybe the case over there is that it's talking about a gudrita de kani. Maybe it's talking about not where you have a mechitzat kanim that's made only of shati, but not of erev, but rather it's talking about where you have a big thick trunk out of which grow kanim in all directions. So it's a real mess. But it basically is similar to an ilan. And therefore, it doesn't address the problem of a machitza that shti without erev. So maybe it's gudrita de kani. So he said to him, if it's a gudrita de kani, why would I have to mention it? Yochi, I know ilan. I mean, it says a tree. So I know already that I can cut the tree and turn it into a diumet. So a chitza de kani is a type of tree, isn't it? So what are you saying? Now what? It's kanepokas bishloisha. So then it's a gader. I mean, I understand. It's no matter how you look at it, it's adding. Because the gader, you're telling me there's a gader that's a normal gader of shti ve'erev, and there's a gader that's only shti and not erev. So that's what you're telling me. I can say exactly the same thing with the gudritza dekoni. Because an ilan, all I have to do is cut. It's a big, thick piece of wood. I have to cut the wood away, and I have myself a diyumdin. But over here, with the konim, I've got a problem beyond that, because I have up until the space where it starts branching out, fine, I have a tree. But I don't have a tree the whole way. I just have these loose konim that are going in one direction. So maybe over there a combination of a piece of wood on the bottom and sticks sticking up is not sufficient, because over there it has two different chesrenes together. Maybe I wouldn't have accepted that as the yomit. So therefore, you can't tell me that just because it uses the lashon of ilan, it includes gudrisa dekani any more than you could prove to me that I could prove to you that if it says gader, it includes both gedarim. Maybe not. Maybe it's two types of gedarim. Same way you were saying, maybe it's two types of ilanas. So you can't prove it from there. Ikeni Amri, others say on the contrary, what he had asked from Rabbi was gudrisa dekani, not chitzat dekani. And that was Kami Boile. He's asked him, gudrisa dekani mai, to which he responded, Rabbi responded to Abaya Tenitua, Hoyasham Goder O Ilan O Chitzata Kanim Nidon Mishum Diyumad, and I assume that Chitzata Kanim, my love, is a gudrita de kani. To which Abaya said, who said it's a gudrita de kani? Maybe it's a kana kana pachot mishlosha. And it's coming to tell me that you can use a mechitza that has shisti all the way, you can use that for diyumad. But maybe gudrita de kani, where you have to combine two issues. First of all, eating away at the solid trunk, the way you would have done with an oven that was square. And then afterwards, you have to also be mitzarif now this other issue of a mechitza that's halfway and it's only shti and not erev. Maybe not. I don't know. So maybe that's what the Kiddush is talking about. Says Rab, if that's the case, it's not included in Gadir, which is mashma of any type. So Abaya says to him, so I can say the same thing to you? You're telling me gudrita dekani. Isn't it included in Ilan? Ilan is any type. Elamait lach lemeima trei gavni Ilan. You have to come to tell me that there's a Kiddush in this, because of its additional problems. So we talk about two different types of trees, the simple case and the more complex case. So maybe that's the case of Geder too. So Hachinami Trey Gavne Geder. So from here we don't have a right. Chotzer Sherosha Nichnas Lebein HaPasim. Mao Letal Tel Mitochal Lebein HaPasim.